Good evening. Certainly good to see you here in the house of God tonight. You know, heard a lot of songs sung in the house of God in, a little over 31 years now that I've been saved. And that last song that they sung there, Farther On, Still Go Farther. I don't think I've ever heard that sung, but what I didn't get a blessing from listening to it. It's better farther on for every child of God. And I'm glad it is. I've seen some rough spots. And you have too if you've been traveling any distance in the Christian life. But he's never left me, never forsook me. And we know because we got the book that it's better, much better, farther on. Thank the good Lord for that. Well, now when you meet here on Wednesday, you'll start the service about 7 o'clock. And Lord willing, we should, if we are on schedule, be touching down in Australia at about 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. And I'll be so glad that it's over. You know, Brother Jeff was talking to me about traveling and how a lot of times I really get weak physically and even sick when I have to make the trip. And the truth of the matter is, most of the time I do. And especially since I've gotten weakened physically with my health. You know, if there's something you have to do or you dread doing, and you've got a weak part of your body, that part of your body cannot stand up under the stress that you're feeling in your soul. And some of you older folks know what I'm talking about. Some of you young people just live long enough and you'll be able to identify what I'm saying. But you got a weak part, and if you get pressed or you get stressed, it seems like that weak part, the first part, starts crying out. And so I'll be glad when it's over. When I get over there, I don't care anything about coming back. And when I get back here, if I didn't know God wanted me back over there, I certainly wouldn't go. That's how much I hate flying. Well, you know, the Lord, you'd think He would have sent me as a missionary to Mexico, all that being true, instead of all the way around the world down on the bottom side. But He knows what's best and He doesn't make any mistakes. At least He's not made any that I've ever read about or heard about or experienced myself. I do want to say tonight that I appreciate the church here and Brother Jeff, your help and prayers. They mean a lot to us. And you ought to rejoice every time God lets you come here, get together and sing hymns of praise to the Lord, enjoy the fellowship, hear the good word of God preached. If you don't appreciate it, just come and stay with me a little while in a dry and a barren land and try to reach people with the gospel and see a church established. You'll thank God for good Christian fellowship and you'll rejoice in what you have here. I'll guarantee you that. And so you ought to enjoy God's good blessings here. And y'all do your best to keep on being a light for the honor and glory of God. Most of this world knows nothing about old-time heartfelt religion. They know nothing, absolutely nothing about it. And you and I, have experienced it, or at least seen it in operation somewhat. And I hope and pray that God will bless the church here, that old-time religion and Bible-believing Christians will not perish from the face of the earth, at least here in Kingston. Psalm 42. I want to talk to you for a little while from this psalm. And if I had my way, I would not be preaching from this psalm, except in a theoretical way. Certainly not in an experiential way. You see, a lot of preaching we do. When I was a young preacher, I used to hear those old preachers preach on heaven. All I preached on was separation and worldliness, and told folks how worthless and wicked they were. And I'd hear them old preachers preach on heaven, and I'd say, Lord, I sure would like to preach on heaven like Brother so-and-so just did. And you know, as I've gotten older in the Lord, I realized that some of those old-timers preached on heaven because they had one foot in the door just about. And I just getting going, still struggling with all those sins I'd been guilty of when I was unsaved. And so, you know, I'd try to preach on heaven, but it's just in more of a theoretical way, you know. I'd just share information from the Bible. I hadn't moved close enough to it to hear the singing on that distant shore. You know, to get just the whiff of the odors from that place is all just theory. And I would to God tonight. And I'm serious. How serious? I'm serious as a heart attack. And you can't get much more serious than that, can you? I would, if I had my way, I would be unable to read this psalm and know that to some extent I've experienced it. You know, there's some things I don't care a thing about experiencing. You know, I'll take your word for it. When you go through all them bad times and you have a lot of heartache and sorrow and trouble, and you tell me about it, I don't say, Lord, let me go through that so I'll know what they're talking about. I'll just take your word for it. Yeah, I think in Brother Sarge this morning, you know, giving that testimony, I tell you, thank God for what the Lord's done for Sarge in the past, but I'm glad I didn't have to go through some of those things. But I'm about to read Psalm 42, and I know a little bit about it in an experiential way. Now look at it with me, please. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the heel miser.
deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. I want you to notice the last part of verse 8 for a text, and then I want you to consider with me tonight for the next few minutes this psalm that I believe was written by David. Look at verse 8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto, and notice these next words, the God of my life. Now, I talked to you for a little while this morning on the terrors of death, and I said I'd talk to you a little while tonight on the troubles of life. And certainly, the man of God here in Psalm 42 is full of troubles. And my text is, the God of my life. Now let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for thy word. And now, Lord, you know the need. You know my need, and you also know the need of every person here in the building tonight. And maybe even now, Lord, some are in pretty much the same situation as this saint of old who wrote Psalm 42. Comfort them, we pray. And then, Lord, all of us, at some point, we'll find ourselves here. Help us to look to thee, the God of our life, to reckon it to be so and live accordingly. Now help us, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The God of my life. Now, I said I thought and do think that David wrote this. You know, David lived a checkered life. He knew what it was to be in great distress, and he knew what it was to experience great delight. He knew what it was to live in a cave for years, and he knew what it was to sit on the throne of the kingdom. And it seems here, in this psalm, that he's certainly not on the throne. In fact, he's in some distant place away from the city of God and away from the house of God. The man of God, the man after God's own heart, is in this situation. And if David found himself here and talked to himself about it, then I'm sure that you and I, at some point in our life, will find ourselves, it seems, a long way away from God. And I trust we're able to talk to ourselves and encourage ourselves in the Lord our God, even as David did. There are three points that I want to hang my thoughts on tonight as we think about the God of my life, the text. I want you to think with me about misery. And then for a little while about mockery. But then thirdly, thank God about that word mastery. Mastery. A lot of trouble in the Christian life. But thank God them that know the Lord are overcomers. And that you and me, if we know Him, I believe God expects us to live a better life than we're living spiritually. More victory and power than we've ever experienced or even thought we could experience. I believe the Bible plainly says that the Lord God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. If you're saved by the grace of God, there's a power at work in you and a power that's at work in me. And that power and the God of that power is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. Oh, that God would help me to enter in to that life of faith where I'd really take hold of God for that. Trust God and not limit Him. And that's what David's doing here. He's limiting God because of his thoughts and his feelings. He was a man of God, but he had a battle just like you and me, if we know the Lord, of walking by faith day in and day out. And he found himself in misery. And that misery was occasioned by two things. First of all, was David's desire or his aspiration. He aspired to something. Look at it there in verse 1 and 2. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now, every one of you tonight, you have at least one desire that is paramount and supreme over every other desire that you may have. And the sad truth of the matter is that there are numbers of us who don't have this all-consuming desire that David had. As that deer, that hart panted after that water brook, so David panted after God. He's using an image, no doubt. He lived out there in the wilderness, saw that deer being hunted and hounded by its enemies who are seeking to devour it. And he probably saw that deer stop by a water brook or seen it running on the hillside and its sides heaving and it's wanting to drink more than it wants anything else, but it's being hunted and hounded by enemies, just like David, no doubt, here is being hunted and hounded by his enemies. And just as that hart wanted to drink from a good water brook or a creek, we'd call it, so David would have loved and desired more than anything else to be at Jerusalem and to enter into that house of God, into the presence of the Lord God Himself. He had a desire, a holy desire. And because he had that holy desire, it put him in a state of misery. Now that's hard to understand, isn't it? You know, a lot of times we think because our desires are right and our longings are right, that everything else is going to be right. But sometimes, because you have a desire and a thirst and a hunger for God, and that desire and thirst and hunger for God is not met the way you want it to be met, you'll find yourself in misery. And now most of us get in misery, I realize, and it ain't because we're wanting God. It's because we're running after the things of this world. And then I don't have any thing to say to you, don't have any way to help you other than tell you need to repent. But I trust that some of us know what it is to have a hunger and a thirst for God. He's in misery because of that which he desires. He's also in misery because of the situation that he finds himself in. Look at it there in verse 4. When I remember these things, what things? When I remember how I'd gone with the multitude. Look at it. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. He's there, separated from God and God's house, and he remembers how it used to be better for him. I tell you, when the troubles of life come upon us, somehow or other we can remember how it used to be with us in former days, and that just adds to our misery. Like that man Job, he kept thinking about how it used to be before the hand of God went out against him. Look at verse 6 and 7. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Miser. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and billows are gone over me. That's his situation. Oh God, my soul is cast down within me. My desire, my aspiration is not being met and fulfilled. And thou art a great God, yet you got me here. The land of Jordan. And that word Jordan means a going down or a descending. And here he is in this low place. But even here he's in the land of the Hermonites. He's on a hill called Miser, and that means a little hill. You know, sometimes we're in a low spot spiritually, but if we look around, there's always somebody a little lower. Even David, I was on a hill, though it was a little hill. He wasn't down on the bottom, yet he's in misery. He's in misery because he desires God, and that desire is not being met. He's in misery because of the situation he's in. And all the time, I found myself in situations that I didn't want to be in. And though I thought I was down low, yet really I was at least on a little hill. I could always go lower. But it seemed like all God's billows and his waves were just crashing over me. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there where it seems like you don't see the sun or the moon for many days? David's here in the wilderness. All the clouds, the dark clouds of God's providence are over him. And it seems like that he has enough eminence there. He can look out, and I don't know if he's able to see the Jordan River or maybe the Mediterranean Sea. I'm not familiar with all that geography. But somehow or other, he sees the great working of God in nature and the storms and the lightning and the thundering. And he sees what we call a water spout. You've seen tornadoes before. And there's something like that that gets over the water, and it actually just goes down and starts sucking water up. It's a water spout. And it'll pull it up and take it to a portion of land, usually a hilly or a mountainous area, and then it'll dump all that water that it picked up out of that river or that sea. And here's David on the hill Miser, in despair, as it were, in misery. And all of a sudden, here comes a thunderstorm and water dumped from heaven on high on him. And he looks at that and he compares that to his spiritual condition. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. He feels as if God has forgotten all about him. I tell you what, a lot of folks get upset when people don't remember their birthday. Or if they're feeling a little bad and folks don't remember to phone them and check on them. I tell you, we get offended, and probably rightly so.
And we get hurt, and no doubt we should. But all the pain, the misery, and the agony that one can feel when it seems like God has withdrawn Himself, and you can't find God, and your situation is desperate. I'm just talking to you about the normal Christian life. Somebody said, I don't want any part of it. Well, I don't want any part of that myself, but don't have any choice about the matter. And there ain't but one other option, and that's to go your own way and end up in hell. But I tell you, God puts us through troubles and trials and testings in this life. And I don't have any better word to describe it than absolute misery. Misery. And then on top of that, there is mockery. Look at it in verse 3. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Verse 10. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Now, this is an amazing thing. David, hunted, hounded over hill and dale by Saul and his soldiers. And you would think that the only people that are with David are those who really love David. But you know the wicked one. He had some people even in that band, David's band, that had no love for David. In fact, they cared more about Saul and Saul's kingdom. In fact, they may even have been planted by Saul himself among David's band. But anyway, this much I do know, that there in that place, that awful place of misery, and those that had sworn allegiance to David and realized that he was God's anointed and God's rightful king, even among that band, David's band, there were those who mocked him in this time of misery. Is it so that even in a church like this, that the devil would put people in here as members who care nothing about the Lord Jesus and the man of God and the house of God? Well, if they did it back in that day, I don't know why he changed his tactics. Here David is, longing to be with God and worship God with a multitude, with joy and thanksgiving. Instead of receiving encouragement from those who were with him, the Bible said here that they continually say unto me, verse 3, where is thy God? Where's that God that helped you when you went out against Goliath? Where's that God that made all those promises to you through the prophet Samuel? Here we are, David. You're our leader. Look at our situation. And look at the misery you're in. What kind of leader are you? We're out here with you, suffering all this hardship. And all we see you doing day and night is weeping. Where is thy God? I mean, it's bad enough to be in misery, but it's another thing to have people mocking you. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You made all these boasts about God and what God can do and what God will do, and now God's doing nothing. Have you ever been there? It's painful. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. A bigger lie has never been told. Ah, you know, I don't care about my enemies saying bad things, but oh, when it's them that are close, the pain. That mockery was painful, verse 3. It was perpetual or painful, verse 10, and perpetual, verse 3. While they continually, there, verse 3 says, while they daily say unto me, you see that? I mean, it's one thing for folks to mock you, and then you can get away from them. But when you got to live with them, and they just keep on, I don't know what it's like to have a sword in the bone. David was a warrior, Sarge. And he knew what it was to have a sword that penetrated and even hit the bone. And it's my understanding, and I don't know it from experience, but they say that there's nothing more painful than that. Oh, that's how your words affect other people. Oh, that's how my words affect other people. And when we see someone that has a desire for God, and they find themselves in a situation that they'd rather not be in, it's not time for us now to say, I told you so. It's not time for us now to mock them. But oh, how prone we are to do it. God help us. Misery. Mockery. But thank God there's mastery here. Look at verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Look at verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the help of my countenance. And my God, there's mastery here. If David will just remember some things. Verse 6, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee. I'm going to tell you, sometimes I just get so depressed. Any of y'all have a problem with depression? Now, most of you here, if you've got a problem with depression, you go to the doctor and they'll tell you you got a chemical imbalance and put you on some sort of medication. You know, try to put you out of touch a little bit with reality. Yeah, I know all about them trying to do that. But you know, there's not any hope in that. There's not any hope in that. You might get a little Band-Aid help, but there's not any real hope in that. You say now, preacher, you just preacher, you keep preaching, let the doctors take care of doctors. Well, I'm talking to you about depression right here. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Is that not being depressed? And why art thou disquieted within me? Somebody get me a doctor. No, he says, hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise Him who is the help
of my countenance and my God. He's talking to himself, why art thou cast down, O my soul? You don't have any reason to be cast down. God's still on the throne. He's still the God of my life. He's in charge. Why are you cast down? Why are you cast down? Why are you feeling this way? Didn't do him any good to question himself. Only thing that did him any good was verse 6. He just went to God and he said, oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. He just went and told the Lord about it. And then he said, therefore will I remember thee. There he is. There's the mastery in remembrance. Look at verse 8 and 9. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness. All thy waves and thy billows are going over me now. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime and in the night. His song shall be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life. I'll say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? I tell you, he found mastery in bringing himself, his sad and sick and sorry self, before the Lord. And he had assurance that the Lord would do something for him. He said, there's hope, verse 5 and 11, hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. He said there's help, verse 5, the help of his countenance, the last part of that verse. He said there's health in verse 11, the health of my countenance and my God. If I can just get my eyes off myself and my troubles and get them on the Lord, there's hope and help and health. Now, I said this morning, Sandra and I will be leaving on Tuesday, and it may be her, or it may be me, or it would be one of those that were here this morning that would make the crossing before we assemble here together again. And I tried to talk to you about the terrors of death. Now, it could be that not anybody would make the crossing and step through death's door. It'd be highly unlikely, but it could be. But I'll guarantee you that most of you will find yourself cast down in soul and in trouble. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Oh, that's our lot in life. The troubles of life. I don't know what's waiting on me. What's waiting on me all the way around, down on the bottom side? I don't know. If I travel like I've been traveling, I'm going to find myself back in this psalm saying to myself, why, AJ, are you cast down? Why is your soul disquieted in you? Hope in God. Hope in God. He's your help. He's your help. Oh, would you think I'd just be in gloom and doom if I said trouble ahead? Trouble, trouble, and more trouble. Yes, that's what's ahead. And the only thing that will sustain you as a child of God is this text. There is a God in heaven, and he is the God of my life. Nothing can come my way unless it's planned or permitted by an all-wise, merciful, gracious, loving, Heavenly Father. And I do believe that the Lord God, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, never sends anything our way. He never sends anything to one of His children that's less than the very best He has. I've had churches and church folk give me things over the years. Been trying to preach now a little over 30 years, and I've had folks give me things, and I'm just going to be honest with you. Most of what's been given me is something that people don't want. And I say thank you very much. And I feel like saying, and the Lord reward thee accordingly. Well, I may not treat you good, and you may not treat me like I ought to be treated, but listen, if you know the Lord, He gives you and me, His children, nothing less than the very best. And the Spirit of God just made me then feel assured in my soul that I'm telling you the truth. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Are you cast down tonight? Are you about to be? Well, you are about to be. I trust that you know the God of this Bible, and He's the God of your life. Let's bow our heads for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I do thank Thee for giving me that measure of strength tonight to share the message. And I thank Thee, Father, that Thou art a great God. And I thank You tonight, Lord, to know in my soul that You're the God of my life. And I pray tonight that it's true also of every person in the building that You're the God of their life, and they know it and acknowledge You in all their ways. Now help us that we might profit from the word that's been shared tonight when we face the troubles and the trials of life. May folks remember this psalm. May they go there in that time of trouble and learn what David learned and be helped as he was helped. Thank You again for all the blessings of life and the hope of heaven to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.